Welcome to another episode of the Grappling with Life podcast. I'm your host, Muhammad Yahyawi, and today I'm joined by the stars of the Good Fight documentary, Dili Hussein and Khalid Ismail. Welcome, bro.
Assalamu alaikum.
Barakallahu fik for coming. Khalid, we've seen too much of each other.
I know, bro.
how often do you guys see each other?
So we shoot the Bedouin Breakdown once a week, and then he strangles me on Wednesdays.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the story.
I saw it.
He violated me that day, bro.
I didn't violate you.
I was
helping him, bro.
And it's in slow motion as well.
Yeah. I was helping him. He wasn't even
I was helping him.
But next time, let me choke you on thing. It's not gonna happen. He'll never do it.
I'll just re-edit the whole thing.
But he was doing the armbar. He got me in an armbar, and I said, "Let go, so I can just thing in it." What did I say? Because you caught me.
Yeah,
because you caught me, innit?
Yeah,
and then his body wouldn't let me get out, bro. I was like, just let me get out. Then he opened his legs and I managed to get out.
Yeah, you know when you're so bad at something and it comes to editing that specific thing?
Yeah.
You end up cutting, there's nothing left.
There's nothing left, bro. It's just happened. You shaking hands and then
that's what happened in the last episode, bro. I was like, what exactly do I leave? I took the whole 5 minute spar with Ibrahim out.
Serious?
Man, there's a 5 minute round
you left it on, bro.
For what?
I think you can see. Nah. That was the whole purpose of it.
Well, have you got it for yourself, though?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, right.
Khalid lined me up against Ibrahim for very specific reasons.
Yeah.
He knows that.
We're going to get into his motives and what he and he should be arrested for some of the things that he done on
Ibrahim. Man.
Especially the ones on the... No, hey, this guy, bro. Whatever you left on the cutting room floor, bro. You should release some, it'll be good.
This guy's still sick. I remember the first time you rolled with him. And he came after I think you rang. Did you ring me after?
Yeah, I said, my in-laws, I'm coming down for a couple of hours.
Yeah, so you trained.
Oh, this was...
Because Ibrahim was with me on a Saturday. He trained on Saturday, Mashallah. And then Dili roll with him. Then I said to him, oh, you know, he's only 17, yeah? And then that was the first time I think he's done jiu-jitsu. That was the first time that kind of thing. Or you don't...
This is the first time I sparred. First time I sparred.
So Ibrahim twisted him up, yeah? And then after, he goes to me, is he really 17? I was like, yeah. Then he rang me the next day. He goes, bro, I still can't believe this guy's 17. I see he's 17. A week later, is he 17?
You know what it is, though? That's the thing. He's been training since he was 5 years old. That's like a different
level, bro. I was talking about this yesterday to some students. The whole game's changed because you got kids starting young.
Bare young.
In this sport now.
100%.
So, bro, and I, obviously, bro, 18, Mike Tyson was a heavyweight champion of the world, bro.
Ibrahim was definitely a wake-up call for him. It definitely gave him a realization. And he was actually 16 at the time when I rolled him.
No, it was 17.
Was he 17?
17, yeah.
Irrespective of that fact, it was a wake-up call.
But Alamo, he's a big kid. Bro. I've rolled with him. He smashes me, bro.
Strong.
I'm 6 foot, 100 kilos, bro. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Emotionless.
Yeah. He's like a
Terminator, like a Bengali Terminator.
Bengali Terminator, that's it. Alamo Barak.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah raise him to be of the most strongest and successful.
And very humble, bro. That's what I love about him.
Alamo Barak. That's his new name, bro.
Yeah.
Bengali Terminator. Yes, Dili.
Because so square and rectangular and strong and straight.
Alhamdulillah. But you know what's good? His dad keeps him in check, bro.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Shout out to Shamu, bro.
Yes,
he keeps all day. He's very stern and very... he's fair, but he keeps him in check. And it's important that, you know, you have someone like that to keep you, you know, on the straight path, bro. And not he's a bad kid. He's a very good kid, mashallah. He's top kid, bro. And on and off the mat, mashallah. But let's get into this, bro. Yeah, because I got a few questions I want to ask you, bro. So, I think you spoke to me before you were gonna shoot. You said, "Look, we're gonna shoot," because I think the last episode we shot at Legion, and you said, "Look, I'm thinking of doing this," and I think Khalid, you said, "Look, we're gonna do this together or whatever," and then he said, "Yeah, he wants to." You explained the concept of the documentary, and then you said, "I'm getting ready for Hajj." I was like, "What?" I was like, I didn't get the connection. You could have done a marathon. You could have done, I don't know, bruv. You could have done so many other things. But why did you specifically think combat sports?
You know, before Hajj was given its, before the word jihad was given its Shari'i meaning, right? And which is basically more of a military one, whether it's defensive or offensive. the Hajj was synonymous to jihad pre-Islam. So when people used to talk about I'm going on jihad, the Arabs of Arabia, they were talking about going to Hajj.
Okay.
And it is something that's well known within our tradition that when you make that journey, the best version of yourself has to meet your Lord. The best version, physical, spiritual, emotional, the best version of you has to meet Allah Azza wa Jal in your Hajj. That's why on when we speak about Arafah, and that you're standing, you're sweating, you haven't cut your nails, your hair, no perfumes are allowed. They say that ulama have said that that is the closest to Yawm al-Qiyamah that we'll be in terms of our situation. Like on Hajj, you just stood in Arafah and you're just begging Allah for His endless mercy and forgiveness, right? It's the closest that we will ever be to what Qiyamah is going to be like. So in preparation for Hajj, I had a lot of fixing up to do, bruv. I knew it came at a specific time where a lot was happening in my life, and I just felt like that was a good outlet. And I felt Khalid was a good shrink to help me through some of the problems I was having. And it was, it got to a point where I was like, I was just contacting Khalid for various issues. And just as an older brother and just something to see. And then this thing, the project, was something I was hoping to do. Because I've tried doing stuff with Khalid before. Remember we had the Arnold Schwarzenegger tournament? What was it called?
The... in Birmingham, they do that show.
Invitational.
Yeah.
Me and Khalid were planning to do something then. But it didn't work out because they were asking for too much money for us to have a presence there.
What do you mean, do something? I don't understand.
We were going to do like a stall. We were going to have content, material, merchandise.
For what? Sorry.
For Khalid's Academy.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Khalid's Academy.
So I'm a bit one step behind you, bro.
Sorry. So we were going to have a stall there.
Yeah.
A marketing stall there where Khalid could promote his academy. There'll be merchandise there, and obviously we were trying to line up other arrangements with some of their guests at the time, and we thought perhaps
Habib was there, right?
Habib, GSP, yeah, loads GSP, of others, yeah. And this was Habib was still new in the UK scene then.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he's now going to bear charity appeals. It wasn't like that. That was his first proper UK event, and the organizer wanted too much money, and me and Habib, that's long. Nah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It'd be nice to meet him, speak to him. Not that much.
Yeah. So you parlayed it into like. So that's how the conversation of the documentary started.
And then I was always wanting to do something with Khalid, relating to combat sports and MMA.
Yeah.
The timing of Hajj and everything just happened that once.
Okay. When you said to me about, you mentioned Arafah, growing the nails, it just reminded me of one thing when Anthony Joshua fought Ruiz for the second time. It was the second time.
In Saudi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when his hair was all kind of, he didn't even have a haircut.
Yeah, and everything.
Yeah, it was like, so it reminds me, have you ever, so when you were preparing for a fight, bro, did you have haircuts and stuff? And
no.
So you just went.
Sometimes you just
Let it.
Yeah.
What is that kind of?
I think you just try to
Why do you fight? Because a lot of fighters do that. In camp, they're just, hair, everything.
When you get to a certain state, like your mental state, and then you, everything is about that training, which is probably the same thing as what you're saying, isn't it? Everything is about asking for forgiveness. Yeah. Mm. So then everything else is irrelevant. Mm. Your hair, the way you look and all that stuff.
That takes a mental kind of capacity.
Yeah, I need to smell good. I need to look good, or I need to get my hair cut. So
obviously you had showers, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is it's putting yourself in that mental state of, okay, I want to go in there and win. Or
we both had trims for the documentary though.
Yeah, do it. I got to get rid of all these grays.
You had to, bro. So you kind of covered it a little bit, but like, obviously you've been around this, you know, you've interviewed loads of people.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had access to other people. So why did you choose Khalid in the first place?
I said this during the documentary, but I actually cut it out because I felt it was a bit moist. Because if people didn't understand that side of the context, I'd be like, D's just having a fanboy moment with Khalid.
Right.
When I first met Khalid, no. And I'm not going to throw dirt on my brother's face, but when I met Khalid for the first time, it was in Abu Dhabi, UFC 242. The day after, Khalid was with champs, and Faraz was floating about, there was Kamaru Usman, there was Kevin Gastelum, there was Triple C H.
Triple H is WWE. Yeah, that guy.
And then Degeneration X and all that. I saw Khalid, and Allah is my witness to this. Some of the brothers didn't even know who the champs were.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. So some of the brothers we were with didn't know who Kamaru Usman was, right. Didn't know who some of the people were. Others were obviously very like starstruck by that.
Yeah.
But I was like, is it Khalid's here, man? I saw him broke a grandma's leg once when I was young. and I was more honored to have met Khalid. Not that I was buzzing about meeting all the others as well. Yeah. But for me, Khalid was the one that I connect because he's from my country.
Yeah.
And I've seen him before. So I was more honored to have met Khalid.
Yeah.
But we didn't really get to speak much. We just met, did a podcast when we both got back. You had the eye thing, your eyes were mashed up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I remember that. So you bad. Looked murked, bro.
But yeah. I had to go hospital.
You had antibiotics and you had to go two hospital. Bouts, innit?
Yeah, I had to go. Both my eyes were. One day I went blind. I went blind. I could not see. I had to get taken to hospital.
But why? Why did that happen?
Someone had. This all started in America. Someone got an infection and it just spread to one from one person to another. And then in Abu Dhabi, I had it really bad. I had it in one eye. And then it just went to the other.
I saw Khalid, I said, is he vexed? Yeah. was it late one last night? What was it? What's happening? Yeah. But even I'm not going to ask, but his eyes were mashed up. And then I just stayed in touch with Khalid after that.
Yeah.
And that's it. And there were others we could have done it with. Mm. I mean, for us was Zahabi.
Yeah.
Big up to me. He was one of the options. But why would I want to go to Canada and Khalid and brothers in the UK? And there were other options, but he just felt right and comfortable with Khalid.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, what did you, when he asked you about it, like, what was your initial kind of reaction? Honestly, bro.
I'm always up for stuff like this. I'm always, I've done a few things.
Did you, because the thing is, I've been privy to certain things that you've done in the past, yeah, and people you've turned away. I've seen you be very frank behind the scenes, like, nah, I ain't doing that, bro.
That's long. Yeah.
Do you get me? So I know you do turn things down.
Yeah.
So
I think
like, why Dilly and why was it kind of
do you know what I like about him?
Go on.
Without throwing dirt in your face again.
Hey, bro, is this gonna be one of them podcasts I'm waiting for you to praise me as well now, bro.
I'll praise you after, bro. I'll praise you after.
Bro, wallahi, I've been spending a whole week with him, I've got two compliments for and that was only after the S&C session, right? Because we were smashing TikTokers and then the last day, just that last clip was you done well, bro. And that was it. That's two compliments. I'm fishing all week.
Well, let's take a step back and just bask in it for a little bit. Yeah, go on.
Do you know what? Personally, I love people who are
like this, isn't it?
Yeah. I love when people are straight. So I felt when I met you in Abu Dhabi, he was very much like, we just clicked. So I liked the way he spoke. And I was like, okay, this guy is not.
Did I seem gassed with the other people that were around?
No. It wasn't even that. Do you know what it is? And it was like, but even like, you know, when I was sitting with.
Yeah.
Henry Cejudo, yeah. Kamaru Usman, all these guys, bruv, I know my place. Do you get it? So it's like, okay, when someone's talking, you listen.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like, and he kept quiet. So I was like, oh, okay. I watched Dilly on Piers Morgan show ages ago.
Bruv, that was my brat moment. Yeah. You know? I was doing this the whole time.
Yeah. So then obviously, because I knew who Dilly was, mashallah. Yeah. So it was like, it was good to actually meet him. And I was like, okay, yeah, this... I liked his personality on TV, and then when I met him in person, he was very straight. Then when we spoke after, it was very much the same. And I was like, okay, I get along with people like who don't come with like, you know, I want to do a documentary and use your name and then, you know, train me and then I want to be MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing, or UFC fighter. It's like, can you get me to this guy?
Yeah.
So it's like, it wasn't that. It was just like, this is what I want to do. The intention was good, so I liked it.
Yeah. And I think just to add to what you're saying, my experiences with Dilly, like he's dead, bruv, and he's not even on this podcast. We're talking about him. Like his name is the realm, bruv. But no, that's, I think one thing that we pride ourselves in is that we don't hang around with people that are not
genuine,
bro. 100%. And I'm like, if everything I've said to you, you agree with, or kind of you just say, I don't like that, bro. I like people to tell me straight, and I don't get my feelings hurt. If you don't like something, you tell me. If you like something, it doesn't matter. But if we're just sitting there stroking each other's egos, it's not very. And I don't like hanging around people like that, bro. So that's something that I did. I told the guys on Five Pillars, he is like that off air as well.
Yeah, the way I'm on camera, I try my best to be.
And that's what I like, bro.
Let me just give you an example of to the extent where I've sought Khalid Nasiha on certain issues, right? Wild ones. Khabib's father just passed away. May Allah have mercy on him. Within 24 hours, I'm on the phone with Khalid. I said, do you remember Khalid? I'm going to fly to Dagestan. Khalid, I don't think that's a good idea, you know. Do you remember that conversation? Because I don't think that's a good idea.
Do what, bro?
Just find out what's going on. Go to Makhachkala. You know what I mean? So make some content. You know what I mean? Find out what's going on.
What? Go where, bro?
Makhachkala.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Makhachkala. Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever heard it.
That's how it's pronounced. Yeah. Makhachkala. Yeah. So, what do you think? I'm thinking about throwing out there. Yeah, there's not even direct flights to them places, yeah? You have to go to Germany, to go to Russia, to get to Dagestan. Boy, how do you not pronounce it in?
No. For him now.
He said Bengali baklava, bro.
There are some similarities. But that's not a good idea. Because the timing. He goes also, you know, from the experience he's had with the Dagestan, he goes, they're very Cosa Nostra type people.
They're like wolves, bro.
They have to trust you to let you in. You just rocking up in Makhachkala a day after his father's passed away is a bit mad. But
I told you a story. Let me tell you a story. You know, when Rustam came to stay with me here, he came with Asad. Yeah. So Asad is the one who punched Conor McGregor, yeah? So if you actually watch all of them, bruv, he's the right-hand guy with all of them.
Asad,
yeah? So if you see with Khabib, all these guys, the whole time, bruv, I talked to Rustam and then Asad just sitting there. He's watching me because obviously the first time all of us meet 100%. Him. So he's watching. Then after, right on the last day, he goes to me, if you ever want to come to Dagestan, you come stay be our guest. But it took him 7 days to understand, okay, this guy's all right.
Yeah.
And that's what I said.
I like that though.
No, it's cool though.
I like that.
But I'm like that.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
not
like that.
I'm, well. I'm not your best friend. Yeah. I joke around with people I know, but
I've actually been involved in a conversation with a member, bro. Wallahi, bro. I wanted to jump out my skin. I'm not joking, bro.
What member at the academy?
Yeah, so I don't want to get into the details, but he looked him dead in the eye and he said this. I'm not going to repeat what he said. It wasn't rude, but just in case people put the pieces together. But you know, when you look at someone and me and Amir, we're like, oh my God, this is actually kind of uncomfortable, bro. See, it was like, boom. And I've seen it done other people as well. But you know what? It was refreshing because, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I'm just not made like that, innit, bro? Mm-hmm. But I do have conversations with people if it needs to, but he doesn't suffer fools, innit? That's the thing. Like, he doesn't have, sometimes we have to actually.
Calm me down.
Yeah, that's okay, bro. This is too much, bro. Please. Even now, bruv, I think when I first met him and now he's kind of, the word mellow is not the word, but he's, the edges have rounded a little bit, bro.
But yeah. We had concerns that Khalid wouldn't smile once throughout the whole documentary.
Yeah.
To a point where, like, Khalid, you know, just a little bit, give us a little bit of something. Yeah. And he's like, nah, I'm cool, though.
He'll smile when he has to.
Remember the live that we did before that?
Yeah.
And Khalid was like, nah, he goes, I'm chill. He goes, but I just need to be chill around the right people. And I'm just like, right, is he going to give us anything throughout the whole week?
Yeah.
Is he going to give anything? Yeah.
He was all right. I mean, no, he was, but again, it's like, it's only when you need to, isn't it, bro? But I feel like it's important. And that, like you said, you can't be around everyone that's like you, innit? You gotta have a kaleidoscope, innit, bro?
Yeah,
of people, exactly, bro. So, sorry, this is me trying to be a journalist.
No, that's fine. So, let me just bring that back. The reason why Juan said yes, I'm why I chose her, because there's a level of mutual respect between us.
Okay,
alhamdulillah. And to the point, there was one point where Juan did actually, because why do you want to do this? And when I said to him a couple of things, like, this is why I want to do it, he said, bruv, if it's anything to do with ego, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
So Khalid actually did at one point say, if this is why you're going to be doing it, I don't want anything to do with it. So, yeah. But he kind of nipped that in the bud very quickly with, like, Ibrahim and, like, what he had in store for me and stuff. I learned that very quickly.
No, but I think that the intention, Dilly, what was good. The whole premise of it was that it was correct. So it was like, okay, this is something, because most people come to you and say, oh, what does it feel like to be an MMA fighter?
Yeah.
It wasn't that.
It was nice to do. It was refreshing.
It wasn't that. I was going to Hajj. I just went the best version of myself. And the only realistic outlook I had for that And someone who I had access to was Khalid and MMA. Boxed a bit in my amateur days, a couple of bouts when I was a young kid. That was about it. Push a bit of weights. And that world was completely different.
Mm.
Completely different.
So I'm gonna go for it upside down a little bit. What was your worst experience?
My worst experience, so there are two things.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
There is a worst experience then?
There's two.
There's two. Okay.
It was constantly being on Khalid's case. And I didn't like that.
What do you mean?
Khalid's a Cosa Nostra type guy.
Yeah. So can you explain to everyone? Because I know what you mean by Cosa Nostra.
Cosa Nostra is a Sicilian mafia. And Cosa Nostra basically means silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a principle.
It's a code of silence, isn't it?
Code of silence. Yeah. And so really just speak when you're spoken to kind of thing. Yeah. From that regiment, right? And Khalid, we're going to have to do this. But give us access to this.
Oh,
we're going to have
right,
to push this. But we're going to have to do this. And it's just constant. Khalid
and he's giving you one word replies.
He's 7-minute voice notes. He's getting khutbas. I'm sending him live. Yeah, full on lectures, yeah, on voice notes. And
I bet you this way. Yeah, that should be okay.
they were significantly shorter. I'll tell you that much. And so there was that bit just being on Khalid's case because that had to be done.
Yeah.
This was our thing. We were doing it together. We made a commitment to each other for this project. And so that requires sometimes some unashamed plugging and promoting. And, and it was pretty constant. But alhamdulillah, Khalid held it down. But I felt like I'm just doing his head in all the time.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And secondly, in terms of...
So that was your worst experience?
But if it's not nice,
were you,
it, we're grown
were you scared
men
or something?
No, we're grown men. I shouldn't be pestering another grown man so much.
Right, okay.
That's the way it is.
So you were very uncomfortable with...
Not very uncomfortable. I just didn't... It was one of the things I didn't like, that I had to constantly be on Khalid's case, because I think that Khalid's deliverable was this. Train me for a week.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, I see.
Jamal fly on the wall. That's it. So anything extra was alhamdulillah from his generosity and his willingness. Give me access to your YouTube. Those are the big things. Give me access to your social media. Push this, push that, push this. But constant, bruv. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that was a bit uncomfortable not because of who Khalid was, but more to do with I'm just not used to being on people's case like that unless they're working under me. Unless they're members of staff.
Yeah, honestly.
Do you understand? And in terms of discipline, wrestling was hard.
That was the worst one?
Yeah.
So what was hard about it?
My stiffness, my lack of agility, the fast tempo of it. And it was I find it quite painful. I was in pain, bruv.
So out of all of them,
kickboxing wasn't an issue, nor was the SNC, nor was jiu-jitsu I got smashed, but I had some experience of it before the good fight, like a couple of weeks, maybe I had about 8 to 10 hours.
Because you joined
Token Academy.
Shout out to Token Academy, man.
Respect to
who's your professor, bro?
Coach David Webb.
Easy, bro. Shout out to Coach David Webb.
Big up to him. And
so you'd done that 2 weeks before you even started?
2.5 weeks. Oh, I did a session at Khalid's as well. And that's when I first met Ibrahim.
Right.
Okay. You'll find me talking about Ibrahim a lot.
You can't get it. He's living rent-free in your head, bro.
You know what it is, bro? Have you seen that in Rocky, when he's got a picture of Ivan Drago and he goes...
Ibrahim sees all my stories on Instagram. He follows me. I don't follow him back. I'm not following him back. I'm not doing it.
But you should follow him, though.
There has to be some distance.
You know why you should follow him?
There has to be some distance.
I see why you follow him. You see what he does to everyone else,
but he doesn't even post.
Ibrahim doesn't even post, bro. Ibrahim was a huge wake-up call for me, bruv. Huge. Yeah. The whole essence of the good fight was done in that one role of Ibrahim to some extent. I turned up on one Saturday.
Yeah.
I've never sparred in jiu-jitsu before. Khalid put me... I had Coach Shamil first. He took it easy on me, smashed me still.
Coach Shamil.
And then I had Ibrahim, bruv. And Ibrahim, he didn't seem like he was on giving me any leeway for anything.
No, he don't.
He doesn't. So he submitted me.
But you know the worst thing about him? He's respectful.
Of course.
No, that's annoying.
That's the best thing. That's why I like him. You know why I put him with Ibrahim?
Yeah.
Because I know he's not going to hurt him.
Yeah.
But he's going to let you know that I'm going to tap you 50 times, bruv. Yeah. And that's what was the best thing. And it was like, no, because it was like, you know, like when you get a new person, they all automatically.
Yeah, okay, so why did you put him with Ibrahim, bro?
Yeah, because what happens is anyone that starts, so Dilly had some sort of fight experience, done a bit of boxing. So they bring that into training. Yeah. So they bring that to jiu-jitsu. I know other guys.
Did you though?
They're doing it.
Be honest, bro.
It's in there.
Did you walk in and thinking, you know what? I'm a man. I might be able to handle this. Like, Did you?
There was an aspect of that.
Serious?
A little bit, bro. Not a lot. There was an aspect of like, how much is this guy going to hurt me? How much are you going to hurt me?
Like, you think in your head, this is what I said to Dilly, in your head, but you've heard this as well. Zach, you probably heard this as well, yeah? You know when man gets angry,
bro. Bodies drop.
Yeah, bro. I don't know what happens, bro. I lose everything, and I don't know, bro. I was like, really? Yeah. Come, let's roll, bro. You get angry. tap, tap, tap. Then he gets more angry. He's tapping even more. So what happened was he didn't come with that. But I understood that
deep down.
No, I understood. Like obviously. You've had a couple of street fights, if you've done boxing, you're going to come into that.
There's something in there.
Oh, but I can handle myself. Yeah. I've had fights before.
Yeah.
But then what happens is when someone's beating you on skill and you're watching him and he's like, this guy's not even trying and he's going to break my arm. He's choking me. He's doing this. Then what happens is like, you go, I want to be a student now. Mm. That happens. And that's when
you get them. That was the purpose of that.
That's when you get them. Mm. It's like, you don't know everything and you think you can fight, but you need to learn.
Yeah.
This is other stuff. That was just jiu-jitsu, bro. Wrestling, another thing, and then mixing it all together, which is then you found out towards the end.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that was.
I only found out what Khalid had for me in store in terms of. No, but he didn't even tell me who was. If you actually look at one of the episodes, he goes, "Yeah, my white belts," and then there's purples and blues and colors there. And I'm like, I was like, Charlie wasn't even a white either. I said, no, the only person that was white
was Malik. Well, he actually is white, bro.
Who?
Charlie.
Charlie was Bluebell.
Yeah, but he's
a joke.
Okay.
Sorry, bro.
Okay.
It's a terrible joke, bro. Sorry, Dilly.
I'm not hardest got me up against guys that look like saying I have a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
Like Charlie.
He actually does look like he's
coming there. You know what I mean?
Such a nice kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
But yeah, man. I'm Ibrahim. Top lad.
Okay, so actually we didn't even talk about the format. What about the format? So when did you decide on the format? Was it always gonna be separate? Martial arts and then mix it up later.
I left that to Khalid.
Oh, so you decided everything.
Yeah. So when Dilly came with the concept, I was like, okay, what is the best way to do this? Because obviously at the end of it, he was going to do MMA. So my goal was, okay, let me think of what goes into an MMA camp. And if we could put that in 7 days.
Oh, okay.
And that was the idea. So some sort of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, kickboxing, an MMA session, SNC. And then the final day we would do the sparring and stuff. So I said to Dilly, I go, this I think this would work. And it would I said to my guy, it would work. And also it would show the fatigue.
Right.
That both doing boxing or doing kickboxing is completely different to doing wrestling. Doing wrestling is completely different to doing SNC. Yeah. So like you have to train in each of them and then you have appreciation. Okay, rah, man, after SNC sessions, my legs are fatigued. How do I go and box now or kickbox now? So that was the whole concept I thought.
Yeah, it was. Look, it's also important to know that there's obviously preparation just to spend that week with Khalid as well. Because some of the meetings we had before, and Khalid said, look, you're going to have to come to me with something. If you're going to be coming and you're gassed within 15 minutes, then there's only so much from the session we can get. Oh. I mean, we can still train, but if you're finished within 15 minutes, it's going to make things very difficult. So obviously that's when he gave me Athlete A. I started carving it right.
Okay, so how long before you started?
February the 22nd, I remember the day.
Okay,
Khalid, Sanakam, bruv. Yeah, what's going on? Diddy, what are you doing? I'm on keto, bruv. Been on keto. Get off keto, yeah? Sure, get off keto. What are you doing? Bodybuilding, yeah? Stop, I'm sending you Athlete A. That was it. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
It was February the 22nd. I think it was a Sunday or a Monday. Locked off the cigarettes because that was worrying me now.
Okay, can we talk a bit about the cigarettes, bro?
I kept that away from Khalid.
Okay, he didn't know you smoked.
He didn't know that, bruv.
So how long were you smoking for, bro?
Seen his face when I told him. This is what it
is. So how long did you smoke? Are you comfortable talking about it? Are you sure?
Yeah, okay.
So how long did you smoke for?
I would say non-stop 17 years.
So how many cigarettes a day roughly?
I was never a 20 a day. I was never a 10 a day. It was always like 5 to 7 a day, 5 to 8 a day. Usually after meals, first thing in the morning with a tea or a coffee. One before you go to sleep, one after every munch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
still trained now. Still played cricket.
And you completely off cigarettes now?
Nah, I've had a few relapses.
So you have?
I've had a few relapses.
Okay. Stressful relapses. Situations. Is that?
Boredom. Boredom.
Bruv, I don't. Your life is not boring, bruv. How are you bored, bruv?
No. Look, first and foremost, right? The fact that I stopped for 104 days,
yeah.
right? And I did it with relative ease because after the first 5 to 7 days, it was a very difficult 5 to 7 days. And then after that, it was just like, okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Oh, you realize that it was habit and boredom. It literally is habit and boredom, right? Why do you need to smoke something after you eat? That's because you've made a habit out of it. Your body's used to it. It wants
that dopamine. Yeah, it's waiting for it. Yeah.
So I locked that off because I thought if I carry on this and I rock up with Khalid for that week, it's going to be a joke. And I felt the changes pretty much within 7 to 10 days.
Wow.
And my boxing coach, Coach Carl Hazel, big up to him. He knew that I should smoke back in the day. He actually said he was one of the reasons why you never made it in boxing because you should smoke, you should mess about, you never should take it seriously. So he knew I stopped as well. And I got back to boxing now because it had similarities to Athlete 8, the circuit drills. It did. There were similarities in terms of the tempo. And so. So there was a lot of preparation just for that week. What people saw, what was documented, was the time I spent with Khalid that week. Before that, there were conversations, there were long voice notes, there was me trying to carb it right, there was, like, and I did, saw the change in alhamdulillah from that as well. Because I was saying, Khalid,
can we talk about a diet? Because that's important. Yeah. Because you quit smoking.
And I was training on an empty stomach in a fasting state because I'd be doing keto and intermittent fasting. Khalid said, yeah, you'll shred weight. He goes, but look, that's not the way forward. You need to be eating before training. And you won't be, and you'll still be losing weight. That's the thing about, you know, that's the maddest thing about carb it right, mashallah, yeah? Is that one of the fears is that you can't have carbs. You know, when Khalid said to me, you can eat carbs, you can smash it before and after training. I was like, oh, ya Rabbi.
So how much did you lose?
I lost in total 14.6 kgs in 7.5 weeks.
One second, bro. Let me just do the maths, bro.
It was about 2 kg a week.
Which is healthy.
And I was still strong, bruv. Alhamdulillah, I was still lifting.
Because I done keto, paleo, but it mashes you up, bro.
I only do. I've had piles from keto, and it's one of the actually common outcomes. Because I was doing
constipation,
and I was doing dirty keto, so I'd have doner meat 3 times a day, and I'd still lose bare weight. It's called dirty keto.
Right.
But when I jumped onto carb it right, wallahi, I felt so many changes. Felt stronger doing workouts. And just the fact that I could smash carbs before and after training was made me so much more happier.
So are you still on carb it right?
Not really, but carb it right has become an aspect of how I eat now by habit.
Right.
So I will eat carbs before training. I will smash carbs and I will avoid it. I'll try my best to avoid it when there's no reason to do so. Because that's basically because what's your reason for eating carbs then if you're not training? And that's just become my habit now.
That's wicked, man. And has it changed your attitude towards food? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because another thing that Holly said to me was, look, don't be a party pooper. Don't rock up to your mom and dad's house and, you know, everyone's having rice and curry and biryani or whatever it is, and then you know, yeah, I'm carbing it right. Just work your training around those days. And that was it. And Aki followed it. My missus followed carb it right. And every person from my locality that were in touch with me that had the book, alhamdulillah, I've only had positive results. But I did it religiously. Because for me, I could not embarrass myself in camera, and I couldn't embarrass myself in front of Khalid for that week. So I had to do as much prep as possible just to do that week.
What's your favorite carb it right meal?
Rice and chicken. Rice and lamb. Rice and beef.
Can I just butt in
for a second?
Go on.
So carb it right is not actually you eat this and eat that. It's actually a way of life. So basically, like what Dilly's saying now,
it's just the way I eat now.
He's just going to eat and he'll know what good, healthy choices are.
100%.
Rather than doing, I can only eat chicken and
broccoli
and that's it. You're able to go out, select foods.
100%.
And then if you're at your mum's house or wherever you are, you're able to choose what is good, healthy living.
I think the portion sizes are good as well because there's that bit where it tells you like a fistful of this and a handful of this.
So we can, I mean, obviously I said to Dilly, I go, you can go, like if you're generally just trying to eat healthy, you can just follow carb it right. Now, if you want to go into more in depth, if you've got a competition coming up or anything, then we could look at macros and start like, oh, only eat 2,500 calories, but still using the same principles. Once, like how we teach jiu-jitsu and wrestling, everything's about principles. When you understand how to eat healthily, the principles of eating good, it becomes your way of life and it's easy for you. And inshallah, you haven't told me this, but that's a testament of what I was trying to achieve with carb it right, was he got the book, followed it, and now don't need me no more.
Yeah.
And then you carry on doing it yourself.
Well, like everyone from Bedford and my local area, and anyone who's spoken to me, and I said, and then they're like, brother, what diet? I said, look, I've done keto and I've done intermittent fasting. And I'm not saying I will never revisit that again to lose weight quick, but I don't think it was a healthy way to lose weight. Whereas carb it right, I swear to you, it's just you just know what you can and can't eat and when to do and when not to do and how much. It just becomes...
That's another thing. You know what I find about... I've mentioned before, but what the hardest thing about dieting is the social exclusion you have.
It doesn't have to be like that, man.
It doesn't have to... Yeah, that's my whole point. Because Diddy was like, I got to my mother-in-law, I got to my mom, so she made... And bruv...
You go to your mother-in-law's?
Yeah.
But
I'm joking.
But Mohammed, when you are at someone's house and you feel guilty that you didn't participate, or no, they actually make you
feel... come on, like, come and on, then you feel like you have to compromise. Nice.
Compromise. Yeah. And then you feel guilty after that. Now, you can eat and you'll be happy. You'll be cool, like, kind of thing. Yeah. There's no guilt trips. You don't feel bad. You can have them days. Imran has blue bag days, like me. Yeah. So you have days where you have day off and stuff. Alhamdulillah, it's good. So and I think that was the best thing that...
Yeah, because that diet part of it, I mean, you always say it's like 80%. I say diet, it's the changing the way you eat. I mean, it's like you said to me last, it's like 80% of training.
It is. Because
if you're eating whatever and you're training, you're kind of...
For example, Mohammed, let me explain a quick thing to you. Yeah? Say you train really hard and you don't eat correctly after, your body is in a state of repair, but you haven't fed it. The fuel or the sort of resources that it needed to repair itself.
Yeah.
So the next day when you go try to train, you get injured or something, or you can't perform at a level that you want to perform. So we're always looking at performance.
Yeah.
How can I get to perform? But also, guys from recreational to professional, bro, why are you killing yourself eating like just rice cakes or whatever it is? Yeah. It's like, come on, man. There's better ways. There's better ways to do it.
There was one point where I did go against Khalid's advice. It's in Ramadan.
Yeah.
Khalid said, look, train after iftar. Because you'll have food, you relax, you don't get salah the way. But I didn't. I trained every time just before iftar. And I boxed. I spent a lot of time at the boxing gym whilst I was fasting. And most of the weight was lost in Ramadan.
Most of the weight, yeah.
Most of the weight. So if you say seven and a half weeks, most of the weight was lost in Ramadan because I was training.
Calorie deficit, training.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
And
what did you feel like?
What I feel like, I've never felt so focused in my life.
Hmm. It's that fasting that kind of just... Just
the preparation for the good fight. I've never been the most sharpest.
No, that Ramadan bit.
Oh, that was...
That's what I'm talking about.
More intensity.
Right.
Because spiritually you're on point. And I was looking forward to Hajj and I was training hard, things were working, and everything Khalid was telling me to do, I was seeing those fruits.
So we kind of answered it, man, but what was the best experience for you?
Jiu-Jitsu, man.
It was, yeah?
Yeah.
In what way?
I love Jiu-Jitsu, bro.
In what way?
Because Jiu-Jitsu,
So you just told me you got savaged by Ibrahim and your thing. And
as an MMA couch supporter, yeah? As someone who's always watched MMA from the days of Bravo Channel and Pride and Strikeforce, you know what I mean? You watch it from entertainment, but you never truly understand the ground game. That's the truth. If you don't know wrestling and jiu-jitsu, you're not going to ever fully appreciate or remotely appreciate the ground game. But I started jiu-jitsu and you start seeing fights completely differently. Mm. Positions, leverage, what he gave up unknowingly. You understand? Where next man persevered in a position because he gave up something. Boom. I never used to see UFC fights like that. And let me just quickly just nip this in the bud now, yeah? I say that, then I'll mention it again probably in about 15 minutes. I couldn't believe a young kid did that to me.
Yeah. And by the way, I've heard this so many times from other people, bro. Including myself, bro.
He submitted me 6 times in 2 minutes, you know. 6 times. Like, if you divide that, that's every 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Then you got a reset as well. So it's probably shorter than that.
Yeah.
Like, every 15, 20 seconds, I'm just submitting. I'm just tapping. And he's just got the coldest face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did a kid just do that to me? Why did you do that? How did you allow that to happen? And I had no sway or control or remote influence over what he was doing to me.
So you got your first stripe, right? You're 2 stripes now, isn't it?
I've 1 stripe. That was a big moment for me, man.
So, have you fought anyone who's just started jiu-jitsu? Have you ever rolled with anyone who just started jiu-jitsu?
What are you trying to get at?
No, I'm trying to see, like,
yes,
your progression. You have, yes, the progression. So, yes, how have you dealt with that situation of someone new coming in, and have you tapped anyone yet?
Yes, I've tapped.
Right? You have, yeah? Yeah, what did you tap?
A neck crank.
Was it a child?
No, it was a man. It was a grown man.
A neck crank. So yeah. Can you describe it for us?
So basically what's happened now is I've got his back. Yeah. I've not got the hooks in properly.
Right.
Right. But that's besides the point. Right. I've also learned the hard. You can't do this, can you? Or else they can just do a, ankle lock. Boom. Yeah. So I'm also going, I'm like, the guy's not giving me his chin. Bond this. I'll put my whole arm across his face. And I just did that and he tapped.
Right.
Very unhinged.
Right. Okay. Any other type
but,
of...
But I got the tap.
This is just the my only tap.
Cleanest submission.
Cleanest one. I want to say.
Cleanest
yeah.
one. Yeah. Is a cross collar choke I've done, and I've
from
done,
God.
Huh? From God. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've done another one. My favorite no gi is the head and arm. I love it.
Oh, the one Islam did to Oliveira.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. And the certain things which Khalid taught me, which I implement in my classes at the academy, was the thing that I did once. You know when you
grip the ankle sweep.
Yeah.
The what, sorry?
Double ankle sweep.
So basically, my guy's, so he's in my guard, he's got up, right, but he's not put his legs back.
The hip bump.
No, you grip the back of his ankles.
Yeah, you put your knees together and you bump. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right. So certain things. But yeah, jiu-jitsu is mad. I love it. So, and I got my first competition as well.
Yes, in February. Norfolk or something.
Yeah, yeah. The Norfolk Open. I'm going back to my old university.
MashaAllah.
UVA Norwich. Inshallah.
So I look forward to kind of. I'm probably not going to come, bro.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's too far. That's fine.
It was thinking about saying it.
Yeah. No, I was like, Norfolk Rude Boy, that's far, bro.
It's long. It's literally at the bum end of the British Isles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anything outside of M25 is techie, bro. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
But that's the best experience and the best thing I've taken from the good fight is jiu-jitsu. And the fact that it's something that I've taken a great liking to.
Do you think you're going to do it long term?
Inshallah.
Okay, you said wrestling was the hardest sport you learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me take a pause there, bro. I want to bring up your first episode.
Just
you walking into Frenford. I want to see your. I just want you guys to see his face.
His face.
Yeah, just the optimism in his face. And just talk me through, just skip it, go to the, when he's walking in the car park, bro.
Months have been an interesting...
Yeah, here we go. He doesn't know what's coming, Ralph. Full screen it, Ralph. So, guys at home, pause it here. Look at his face here. This is after. You shot this after, innit? Okay, you shot this after.
This is well after.
Yeah, so now let's go to him coming out of his car. Let's go. Here we go, look.
I've got a minor injury.
Oh, he's already complaining. But what is his face, Zach?
In fact, I'm not sure if I should talk about
it. You know what?
He's mad optimistic, bro.
It's Pete as well. Not so Pete. Not that Pete did much either to me. Pete was a wicked training partner, but when I saw him, and Jamal's like, "Yeah, the guy's not that big, bro. Yeah, he's all right, bro." Yeah, and I'm just, and then I realized,
look at that face. Look, it's a guy who doesn't know what's coming, bro.
Yeah, you notice I smile less as episodes.
Yeah,
progress.
Bro,
I smile less.
Here we go. Oh, look at his face.
These have been my memories.
It is Pete. MashaAllah.
Khalid wasn't budging on the start time, you know.
Is it?
He didn't budge on the start time.
So, because you were saying that you drove in.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. What do we say? A 10 a.m. start, wasn't it? 10 a.m. start, 10 to 12, 12:30, bruv. So I'm leaving better at 8 o'clock. Khalid, please give me another hour, bruv. No, it's 10. It's 10.
He's setting a precedence, bro.
I had to.
Yeah, because then you'd start asking more, innit?
No, never. I was coming for 67 miles, bro.
Bro, can I say something? Fatigue makes cowards of us all, bro.
And I was never late, was I?
No.
I was early in some situations.
No, you're very punctual, mashallah, bro. Yeah. Anyway, even from my experience.
You're always lucky to say 6 a.m., bro. I've said that.
I've said that to other people.
So that's the first episode. You guys can go catch it on Five Pillars. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that you go watch it. and use this as a companion, just to get a bit of a background to, you know, like a little bit of a precursor on what was going on, the behind the scenes stuff. We're going to go to the last episode because I'm not going to show every single episode.
No, that's cool, cool.
But if we had a 3-hour Joe Rogan thing, we could have done it, yeah? But in a minute, we'll go to the last episode, yeah?
What's on out? Okay.
Okay, so I think that's a good point. We'll pause here, pray Maghrib, and then we'll reconvene,
no problem.
Okay, refreshed, I'm back. Dilly. So we left off of...
Am I smashing white belts?
Yes, yes.
I've had my way. I've had in advantages.
I beg you, we need to zoom in on his face. Look at the smile on his
face. You know what? I showed his message, I did this today. Pulled this move off today.
Yeah, the double ankle.
And there's also PJs that I got smashed. Yeah. I don't want to go back. So there was a moment. I don't know how it was for Khalid. I don't know if I was doing his heading. Why is this guy always messaging me about his jiu-jitsu journey? Like, I don't know. Was it annoying?
No,
that's alhamdulillah. It makes me feel better.
No, he'll tell you. You know he'll tell you if it's annoying, bro.
No, but there'd be times where I'd also be like, if I got smashed today, I don't feel like going back, really. Like, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I going? But I know exactly what the outcome is. And that was because, to begin with, I was seeing session as winning and losing. Am I going to win today's spar? But that was done very quickly. I got away. As soon as I started seeing some progress in my own game with other white belts.
But you need that. The thing is, the next question I was going
to
ask you.
I twisted a couple of brothers up as well. Yeah. They were just like, yo, what's this jiu-jitsu stuff?
Oh, like civilians, yeah?
Yeah, civilians.
It's like they showed the witchcraft or something, bro. Like, what the hell is this?
There you go, a clue, bro.
So now you're not a civilian anymore, bro.
I still am.
No, you're not a civilian, bro. As soon as you put a white belt on, that's it. It's like you've become a
white belt, one stripe.
Yeah. One stripe. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's a stripe, bro.
Yeah.
So when's your next stripe?
When you're still a white belt, you're civilian.
Yeah, that's true. One stripe means that.
And inshallah, I get my second next month as well.
Inshallah. What's their setup like over there in Tucon?
Tucon, run by David Webb, who's under Mauricio.
Cool, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's under Mauricio. Right. Very lovely. It's a very good gym. I wouldn't necessarily describe it as a competition gym. I would say the vast majority there are hobbyists, but there are a handful who do compete. Very welcoming guys. And the reason I went to Tucon was because my uncle goes there, Balal Mia, who's a brown belt himself, done MMA fights before. And he encouraged me to join Tucon Academy. The other option was another gym called Kraken. That's an MMA gym. I just wanted to focus just on jiu-jitsu. And because I know there's a relationship there between my uncle and Coach David, right, made me feel very welcome.
Alhamdulillah. And
how about quickly saying, have you rolled with your uncle?
Not yet.
Oh.
No, I'll tell you why. He's had a mad injury. He had a couple of operations, but alhamdulillah, he's better now. Okay. Alhamdulillah, he had like sinus operations, much better now. He's copper as well. I don't know why I felt the need to say that.
I was thinking, what?
But we're both looking forward to. I was with him just this weekend. He goes, I look forward to when we eventually roll.
Oh, inshallah.
How much older
he's
is he?
He's on a twister up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I have that feeling.
But you know, he's had an operation, so you can always, like,
yeah.
Push his nose down.
And he also says he's going to help me prepare for the competition and stuff.
Okay,
we're probably going to end up rolling in about 2 weeks.
Inshallah.
Because I'm coming back from my family.
Is he much older than you?
He's mid 40s, late 40s.
Right, mashallah.
Yeah.
So how much has it taken over your life?
Bare.
Is it?
It's sometimes cringe, you know. It's just constant. It's just kind of like 80-90% of my feed now is BJJ Fanatics, the Rotolo Brothers, Gordon Ryan. All of that now.
Are we going to see like a...
Hold on, wait a minute. Do you shrimp when you move in your bed?
Huh? What? But move on each side. It's easy.
All right.
Mad leg movements here from one side to another.
Watch Eid Day. Watch Eid Day, man.
You get up. Technical get up.
Yeah. I swear, I thought I was a weirdo. I shrimp in bed.
No, everyone does it.
Yeah, everyone does.
Everyone does it.
And Eid Day, you're looking for handles. Yeah. Don't let the brother get underhooks on you, bro.
Never get underhooks, bro.
Yeah, don't even let my mom get underhooks, bro.
Yeah, it's consumed me quite a bit, to be honest. To the point where I've felt some of the areas of my work and priorities actually affected. It just became everything like jiu-jitsu, this account. I'm on a BJJ fanatics group on Facebook, right? Wild group, like 250,000-300,000 members, bruv, yeah?
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you comment, bro?
Huh? Yeah, I comment. I share my clips from podcasts and stuff all the time. Actually, not all the time. Here and there I do.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand that it's still predominantly North Americans and Brazilians. Yeah. But it's a good group. But it's consumed me quite a bit.
Does anyone reply to you on it?
Yeah,
you have conversations?
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
I shared clips from the Fraser Habib podcast, a few other podcasts. I promoted even the good fight there as well. Okay. But I said, look, this is a faith-based documentary. In question, some people enjoyed it, and there's lots of Muslim members there as well. Inshallah. So yeah, it's consumed me quite a bit, but I like it.
Once a journalist, always a journalist, bro. I got a fear. Are we going to see like a Dilli Hussein kind of...
What do you mean?
An expose into the underworld of the jiu-jitsu. That's me, Dilli Hussein, I'm here. Yeah.
They're whacking my £50 for a strike. Yeah, they're charging my £50
exactly.
For a strike.
Exactly. Jiu-jitsu politics and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that, bro.
No, because I'm going to get smashed off.
No, why?
No, because I need to do that at least when I'm brown or something.
No, but we got a crew now, bro. Mm-hmm. You're not rolling by yourself now, bro. We got
really. Oh, then in that case, I'm gonna start next week, bro.
That's it, bro. We gotta do expose, bro. We gotta do like
fake black belts.
Fake black belts. That'd be quite sick.
Your training, alhamdulillah, is such a good thing to do.
Wicked.
But there's fitna in it.
Because
I've always said there's fitna in it because what happens, especially if you're not guided correctly, if the fitna comes from where you think you're really good, your ego, you think you're really strong. But remember, all that stuff goes after a little while. You're at the top at one stage, and then you're going to be at the bottom.
Circle of life.
That's the thing. I think if we, especially as Muslims, we remember that, then you kind of, your dealings with people will be better.
When everything's tied into, so if everything that you are is tied into jiu-jitsu or combat sports, then you've failed, bro.
You've actually failed, bro.
If boxing's only like or jiu-jitsu or martial arts has only taught you martial arts, then you haven't learned the lesson, bro.
In fact, one of the hadith that Mirai actually discussed, I think it was in the wrestling episode, it was to do with when the companions were wrestling in the masjid.
Mm.
The Prophet ﷺ came and he wasn't entirely impressed with what was going on. Because the issue wasn't the wrestling. The issue was, why are you wrestling?
Mm.
And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, is to see who from amongst us is the strongest.
Yeah.
And the famous hadith came, it is not the one who is the strongest wrestler, but the one who holds back his anger. And there's variation of that hadith. Yeah. So if you see what the
Prophet... We have that sewn into our geese, bro.
So...
You know the geese that we got? We got it
sewn
in.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So similar to that, the Prophet's issue was not that the Sahaba were wrestling. It is, why are you wrestling? And when the Sahaba responded by saying, we are wrestling to see who is the strongest among us. Yeah? The Prophet responded by saying, that is not how you measure strength. You measure strength by actually holding back your anger or in a state of anger. He actually specifically said, not the wrestler.
Mm.
He actually said in that hadith. Mm. Oh, so look, I mean, and we actually discussed that in episode 2. All I'm saying is that, look, brothers, jiu-jitsu practitioners, MMA, whatever, that can't be your nucleus. The nucleus is your deen.
That's it.
That is just an outlet that helps you perhaps harness and channel some of the issues or strengths and energies that you have.
It's something that you do, isn't it?
That's just something that you do. Do you know what I mean?
I think you talk about this a lot. Like last time we had the conversation is that living in the West, we try and reconcile. We say Western values, Muslim values. Does it fit? Does Muslim values fit in with Western values? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost programmed inside us. Okay, remember when fasting, we used to fast and all of a sudden now fasting has become a fad now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's talking about intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden Islam is correct now.
Yeah, hijama.
Hijama.
Now they're selling lotas on Amazon as well.
There you go, bruv. Yeah. Squatty potties.
I don't know what you're calling me in Arabic.
Lota, bro. Yeah.
You like that? You've got a mad word for it.
I don't know. Do we have a word for it?
Yeah, I heard there's a mad sounding word you like for it.
How are you saying lota?
Bodna, come on.
The thing.
You got called out, bro.
More people speak Hindi and Urdu than Bengali.
Come on, man. Shout out to the Bengalis, man. So it's like, so the same thing with combat, like with jiu-jitsu. It's even stupid to even think about it, bro. It's like, it's not, does jiu-jitsu fit with Islam? Does Islam fit with jiu-jitsu? It's the other way around, bro. And whatever doesn't fit, you throw it away, bro.
Always, 100%. I feel, you know what? I say one thing, though. It must have at least some correlation to Khabib and McGregor and all that.
Mm.
Muslims do now have a formidable and growing reputation amongst non-Muslims in the grappling jiu-jitsu scene. I see that because I hear my peers talking about it, and you can hear how they talk about
the Dagestanis.
Why them talking about from the Central Asian man. Yeah, it's just, so now it's a thing now. That wrestling and grappling has become somewhat synonymous with a strong Muslim man. And I think that's very positive, and we can take that from the community. But if there's intra-beef happening between academies that goes beyond something that's healthy and permissible, then now we need to always rectify.
Even what happened recently with Hamza and Abu Bakr.
He took Khadir off one phone call, innit?
I don't know what he said on the phone.
Actually, no, I don't want to ruin it.
Let's not. Because we're going to have to edit this out.
Yeah, but you can probably tell what the phone call was
like. Yeah. Calm down.
Now. And make a video about it.
But again, it's like, Khalid, you've been around, like, the stories he's told, I wish we could even talk about it on the podcast. Like the stories that Khalid tells me sometimes of what people show on Insta and what people are really like. Wallahi, the one story he told me a few years ago, it actually made me depressed, bro. Because I know it sounds very naive. Oh, what's new? People are putting a persona online, yeah? But you know when it's someone that you think, oh, this person's like this?
Oh, was this the, I'm not going to say it, but the Muslim card?
Which Muslim card?
There's loads.
But that's one of the cards, isn't it?
Yeah, there's loads, man.
You played the Muslim to garner support.
Yeah.
Look, I think...
But also being completely opposite of what you're... Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's dangerous, though. That's dangerous. Look, you know through the filming of The Good Fight and when we were posting teasers and content and stuff, I didn't tell Khalid this. I didn't tell him everything. But we actually get lots of DMs and lots of messages from brothers. Brother, can you put me in touch with Khalid? Brother, can you give me his number? Brother, can you... And I was actually engaging some of the people. I said, look, can I just ask you, what is it that's not public? What do you need? Mm-hmm. What is it that's not publicly accessible right now from his website and the details there that you need to now take it further? Oh, now, brother, I just wanted some advice. And some. I'm like, look, listen, yeah? What you think you're seeing, it's not fun, yeah? So if you're going to nag and pester another man about what's already accessible on his website and he fixed up, and it boils down to the reasons. Why are you doing this? Mm. And there were bad times for the Good Fight where I thought, why? But there were times where I regretted it. There were times there was times I should tell Jamal in Pramila, brother, why am I even doing this? You know, like, we could have fulfilled all the objectives without me having to do this.
Do what?
Spend a week with Khalid, get smashed on finale day, all the preparation for it, the money spent on the project, all these kind of things, all the resources spent on, we spoke about the objectives. Is it informative and educating the people? Is it entertaining? And is it an aspect of da'wah, right? We could have produced something that didn't have to entail that. Mm. But we did. And I had to question my own intentions.
Was it because you felt like your masculinity was being challenged on camera? Is that what it was?
No, I think what was happening is I was having issues pertaining to... remember we spoke about...
Your image?
No, there was just certain things happening in my life where I wanted to smash guys. I smashed people, and that wasn't the right thing to do, and that certainly wasn't the right mindset to be making Hajj, bruv.
Right. What do you mean? Your intention was to train and go and smash someone?
No, it was the fact that
tried to run you over.
Yeah.
You remember the story, bruv? Remember the story?
Story? I
was experiencing certain people in my life, bruv, and my approach to how I was going to deal with it wasn't the correct one. It said it wasn't an Islamic one.
Right.
And the same time, within 6 months, I was supposed to be making Hajj. So I just realized a lot of stuff that wasn't making sense was happening in my life.
But did you feel that your masculinity was being challenged, bro?
What, on camera?
Yeah.
Well, of course, constantly. Round the clock, bruv. Mm. There was one of the kickboxing sessions I didn't include in the episode. Khalid went, go shadowbox. He goes, go shadowbox. Couple of rounds. He says, I'm shadowboxing. I'm doing my thing. And he goes, look how big the space you had. He goes, and this is the space you occupied. He goes, now, unless you're going to be fighting with my guy, they're not moving, having it out. Because that's how you're supposed to, you shadow box the way you're supposed to. And I thought to myself, Khalid is actually correct. That was humbling for me. Because Khalid had to remind me of some very basics. Where was my defense? Every time I was throwing something, there was nothing coming back. I wasn't really doing anything in defense.
This was in boxing.
Pure choreography I was doing, yeah? And with the noises as well. Khalid just came and said, bruv, fix up. Fix up quick, yeah? And then I said to Jamal, that's not going to get in the episode.
But also, you know what? Like, we all, as men, yeah?
Yeah.
We all, like obviously, like, Imran last week videoed me getting savaged by, I say savage, I'm joking, but yeah. But I was rolling with Khalid.
You got savaged.
No, but being savage means, can I say something? Can I say something? Being savage means that he had to try, innit? Like he's actually, but he wasn't trying to do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like I would have known if I would have known, but you got no levels, innit, bro? You have to be respectful, innit? And say, look, this is where I am. I need to get better. And alhamdulillah, if you're in a club where Alamaberg is very gracious, you know, people that we surround ourselves, they're not those that, oh yeah, that makes sense. But as a man, when you're getting your space invaded, yeah, and they're imposing your will, their will, sorry, against you, and it's on camera, so this guy started this video,
yeah, how are you feeling,
bro? No. I didn't feel it any way about it.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I'm saying, for you,
well, we spoke about this, Khalid. I said, bruv,
do you see what I'm saying to you, bro?
No, I spoke about this very specific. I mean, Khalid, I've got an issue, bruv, that certain people are going to watch this
and think I'm a waste man.
Yeah. I think that I'm going to try my chances.
Yeah.
He said, number one, that mindset's a big problem. Mm. And number two, you'll be a better and stronger fighter after what we've done than you were before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that went through my mind.
But it's like that.
Yeah, that's standard.
Primordial kind of thing inside us. By the way, I didn't feel a certain way in, man. Well, I didn't, bro. I'm just
film it this weekend.
But film it again, bruv. I don't care.
But I'll tell you what.
But do you see what I'm saying to you, bro?
I get it, though. Yeah. Say a pro fighter going out to fight in front of thousands of people and on TV, and they get spanked.
Yeah.
How are they feeling?
Like, what's his name? Kamaru Usman, bro.
Yeah.
Getting flatlined. And then memes happening after that, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Tyron Woodley, bro.
So, are you going to catch feelings?
Me?
No. Then, to see what happens. That,
of course they're going to catch feelings, bro.
If you're mentally strong, it's like...
But I'm sure they got affected them afterwards.
No, but I'm saying to you, but then you will never fight. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
You know that's part of the equation.
It's part of it. You're going to lose. And then what happens? You have respect for yourself that, okay, I might lose, but this I'm 1% of people that will ever do this. Mm. Do you get it? That I'm willing... Anytime, even when you compete, yeah? What's going to be hard for you is not the preparation.
The winning, losing.
Not winning and losing. Is standing, as soon as you go out, you're thinking, oh man, all my people are here watching me.
Yeah,
I might lose.
That's already going through my mind.
Who cares, bruv? That's no, seriously, don't worry about that stuff. But again, because I always, when I used to fight and stuff, I was like, yeah, you've come to watch me fight. You're not fighting. I'm doing something more than anyone. So that, again, so you always respect.
But you did say that every time you used to go out.
Yeah, you get worried.
You say to yourself, why the hell am I doing this, bro?
If I'm in a change room, like I said to you, I'm hitting pads and I'm thinking, well, I should just be at home eating pizza. But then, like I said to you, then you switch on. Yeah. Then you switch on and it's like you train yourself to...
I'll tell you something, maybe you can identify with this, is that I've trained martial arts all my life, yeah, as a kid. And one thing that I only as an adult, yeah, I'm talking about recently, bro, in the past 2 years that I've started to change my mentality on is, like you said to me, winning in sparring, bro. Like losing. Like there's no dishonor in losing. If the dishonor comes from yourself or how you react to losing. So I remember as a kid when I used to go to tournaments, I used to get so wound up that it actually affected my performance because I didn't want to lose. So part of winning is actually accepting that you might lose, bro. Like that, that's what I try to tell my kids. When you go competition, I don't care if you win or lose. For me, it's make your opponent respect you. That's it. Because they're going to respect you because you, bro, anyone coming on the mat, that's a win, bro.
Yeah, you stifle your game when you, remember Last Samurai? Do you remember Last Samurai? When he says to him.
I watched it like 50 times, bro.
Remember a bit where he says to him, too many
mind. Too many mind. That's what it is. That's so
true. Mind the people, mind this. That's basically.
That's so true.
That you're thinking about so many other things rather than just fighting the guy.
So my question to you is, what was it like walking into the, so you know your face, remember we talked about before, walking from the car park, meeting Khalid, smiling and everything. What was the mentality then? And then what happened the last day when you shook, after the last fight, yeah, the last round, shook everyone's hand, and you're in your car, bro, on your way home. What was the difference?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Well, Diddy's made me bring up my game, you know.
You're good at stuff.
I'm gonna start sending you text messages like you send him as well.
Good at stuff. No, no, he don't send me text messages. He sent me voice note.
Voice note.
He don't send me voice note.
Minimum 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Followed by apologies in advance. Yeah. Literally, it's always kind of apologies in advance, bro. Yeah. The income is 7 minute voice note. I'll be honest with you. Ibrahim mashed my arm out of my elbow up, bro.
Yeah.
Bro,
let's talk about
rent free
going in.
No, he mashed my elbow up for 3
weeks. Before you even started.
He mashed me up for 3 weeks. I couldn't straighten my arm for 3 weeks.
Right.
I had to tell myself not to be upset with him. He just did what he had to do. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I think you're seeing him do it as well. He's looking at you, just doing it. And I'm just like, okay, there's not much I can really do. But anyway, I digress again.
You said you weren't going to bring him up again, bro. Ibrahim, by the way, I'm going to see, we could probably see him on Monday. This is coming out in a few weeks.
I've never found myself speaking about a youngster so much, you know that.
Not sure. I'm talking about the top brother.
Anyway, how do I feel?
Also, let's not gas him up too much, innit?
I was depleted. I was depleted. I felt like I embarrassed myself. Well, I felt like
that was at the
smashed.
End.
Yeah, on the drive home. I'm speaking to Aki on the drive home, bruv.
Right.
Like everything's done, dust, we've ate, we had a nice munch, not carbing it right. We drove back to
what did you eat? What was the first meal after that?
What did we eat?
We smashed.
Yeah, we smashed.
Oh, yeah, we had five lads, bro.
Yeah, yeah, we smashed burgers, chickens, all sorts.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
Driving back, Aki was like, how do you think it went, boy? I got smashed, bruv. And one of the questions I asked Aki was, how did I look? Mm. How did it look? How did it look? Aki couldn't lie because, bro, you were tired, didn't it, bro?
You're tired, isn't it, bro?
Because, bro, you were tired, isn't it, bro? What'd you expect? And I was like, holy dummy, I didn't know how to do that many rounds on jujitsu. There's nothing left. I'm taking out the drive back home, yeah?
So you were, bro, like we say, we brought out the manchar.
It never ever descended into it, but it was always
Khalid and Ibrahim and flipping these guys.
And then I was like, bruv, and then I was like getting Aki to count the minutes. Right. I goes, God, Sean, what was that, sir? I said, bruv, I did 40 minutes of sparring before I even got to Charlie. I said, there's nothing left. And I was, so there's a lot of that happening at home. But then I had moments where I was like very optimistic about how I did. And then truly embarrassed. I'm like it was a joke what I did. And I was knackered, bruv. I was knackered towards the end. You know, I was saying, put your hands up. Oh, yeah, don't. I was marked because Ibrahim mashed my elbow up. He put my hands up, was killing me. I couldn't understand why Khalid made me do so many sparring rounds before I even got to it. That was my only complaint of Khalid, which I never actually voiced him in person. Until now.
Wait. Go on.
Use my phone. You call somebody who cares.
And that's why I didn't tell him, because I know he wouldn't care.
You know why? There was a whole reason why I did that.
Go on.
He done every art, so he had to fill every single one. And I want him to go with Coach Shamil, so different levels. Coach Shamil.
2 minutes.
I want to go with Ibrahim. I wanted him to wrestle with Abdurrahman.
No, I did jujitsu with Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman
jujitsu. Yeah. So you done
2 minutes. I'll tell you the exact timings. 11 minutes of jujitsu with a father and two sons.
Yeah.
Then I did.
Think about the strategy I did. Yeah. So then 3 rounds I did was you at your when you was at your freshest. Yeah. Then I done kickboxing with you, which something that I thought, okay, you're comfortable with doing stand up
as I was,
because you know you've done stand up before. So they, okay, even though you're tired, hopefully your technique will take over. Then the last one was okay, let's put it all together, and those were the ones where you had to truly rely on technique, and then they would come out. Okay, did he learn anything from this?
And all the brothers took it easy on man.
So I'm
not dumb to understand where there were times which obviously I didn't include in the edits.
Yeah.
Abdurrahman's like, bro, it's there, take it.
Yeah. But can I just say something?
And for me, even that was like, look, my sparring opponent's telling me he's giving me something. So the loads of mixed feelings, bro.
But Dili, Ibrahim wrestling, I think he won British champ.
Ibrahim
as well.
And
Abdurrahman. I'm going to get to Abdurrahman. Ibrahim wrestling British championship, he won. He won Europeans in jiu-jitsu at junior and multiple gold medalists, bro. Abdurrahman,
huh?
Abroad as well. Abdurrahman is no bruv. Abdurrahman, mashallah, high level purple belt, bro. Lama Barik, mashallah. Wrestling, high level wrestling, bro. It's not, I think he's one of the few in the country, bro. And I could probably say that, that have a high level in wrestling and high level in jiu-jitsu, bro. Just what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Coach Shamu, bruv.
Coach.
Okay, he weighs way less than when I roll, bro. Wallahi, he kills me, bro. Like, Allahumma barik, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. So you're not going with, say for example, if you've done the same thing with white belts, imagine they were truly, truly like just started, it'd be a completely different thing. But you're going with guys that are high level.
Let me just say something, though, yeah? Khalid said to me, he didn't tell me anything about Coach Shamu.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me. Did you just see on episode 6? I goes, oh, you did Ibrahim on purpose. Yeah. It's literally there in the episode. I goes, you've done this on purpose. He goes, yeah, I know. You can literally, Khalid goes, yeah, I did this on purpose. Yeah. I didn't know I was facing white. I was facing white belts. But it's good. I liked it. It was an element of surprise as well. And
but and plus, that's facing your demons, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Not that he's your demon, but he's just facing that. That because remember the first, I remember how much you rang me after the first time he rolled with Ibrahim. It was like, it wasn't like Ibrahim specific. What it was like, the guy's 17.
Yeah.
But I got mangled, I'm a man. Like, I didn't understand what, I don't understand. Like, what, how did this guy just play with me? And he didn't come out of first gear and all this stuff. So I think that, mentally, I needed him to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's why I put you
with him. It's probably a good thing, bro.
Yeah. But with most people, but imagine, most people, what they do is they run away from fears and don't know. Like, you think about psychological, when something is painful trauma or something, they avoid it.
Yeah.
I made you face it.
100% you did.
Now he lives rent free in your head, but.
I don't know if I can understand as well, bro. Shall I tell you another thing I can understand on finale day? Khalid goes, after, so there's 3 2-minute spars, 3 2-minute rounds, yeah? Coach Shamo and the boys, yeah? Then he was like, yeah, now you have to do a 5-minute round. And I'm like, where did that come from? In my head,
did you freestyle that on the spot?
No, because I went to do it MMA.
But you just decide that on the spot?
No, I went to MMA.
Oh, okay.
And then he was like, oh, a 5-minute round with thinking, and then he was like, you choose. He said to me, it was you choose. I was like, you choose, yeah, Ibrahim.
So can I say to you, when did it start? When did it actually, so you've driven back to Luton. Who drove, Bedford, by the way?
I drove.
Oh, you drove back. Okay.
Yeah, so arms were hurting.
Okay. Yeah, we understand why they're hurting. Yeah, we got it. So you got back home.
It hurt for a long time.
Okay. All right.
It hurt for a
few weeks. Did you ice it?
Yeah, probably, yeah, but it just wasn't nice, was it, bro? Wasn't a nice feeling, bro.
So when did it sink in, bro? So the day after that, like what was your...
I would say on the day and the day after, there was mixed feelings about how it went down, what went down, what the final product's going to look like. Like in terms of how did I do? How's it going to look on camera?
Yeah.
How are the people going to take it? But for the first day or two straight after, it was a lot to do with, bro, you got smashed. This was a joke. You shouldn't have done this. Embarrassing. People going to laugh at you. People going to think you're a mug. They're going to think you're an easy marker. Mm. But there were other times where I was like, nah, bro, you know, I think I've done well. The fact that I actually completed it. The fact that I finished the week, you know, I was going through mixed feelings. But alhamdulillah, by the end of the week, the maslaha outweighed the mafsada. The benefits were far greater and better. And I only benefit from that experience.
Can I take a little bit here, bro?
Go on. Go for it.
Not like, do you feel that you, throughout your life, because I know we've had a conversation about your childhood and like, it's not a psychology session.
No, it's fine, bro.
But you were involved in, you know.
Things, yeah.
You know, stuff that were naughty, yeah? Mm-hmm. And like you got into fights and stuff like that, yeah? And you thought you were a certain way.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then kind of.
Universe is different.
Yeah. So when you got into that, you kind of brought that mentality in thinking, you know what? I can handle myself, bro. I've seen madness. Was it ever like, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to figure it out because
I found that very quick, Muhammad. I found that very quick. And it was that first sparring session.
Right. But you did come into that thinking like that.
No, there was an element of thinking, how much is my guy going to harm me?
Right.
How much, what's he going to do to me? Do you understand? But then I realized very quickly that they can do a lot to me in a very short space of time with relative, if not entire ease. Khalid was twisting me while smiling at me. He was doing it, bro. Yeah. He's looking at me, just smiling. There's one thing you did. What was that sweep? I was like, I've done a cartwheel in the air.
You literally lifted me up.
Oh, the butterfly spin.
Yeah, and I'm while that's happening to me, I'm thinking, what's going on here? Why am I in the air for, bruv? Like, and it felt like slow motion. Khalid's face looks pretty normal to me. Looks pretty normal to me. He doesn't like it's quite.
Was that smiling? Yeah. I can't be smiling.
Nah, but you.
With his eyes. It's funny with his eyes.
So I find out very quickly that now, what I thought when we were in that life, then situations and circumstances incomparable to the mat or the cage or the ring.
So now so this will end on this, yeah? So now you're still training.
Alhamdulillah.
So you're keeping that up. How do you, looking back at it now, how do you feel? But because now you're training, you've been training, how long since you've shot this?
February, so we're now in November.
Yeah.
So I would say about 10 months.
So it's 10 months you've gone through this journey.
10 months of training, jiu-jitsu, 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
So how has your mentality changed now, like when you're going into training?
I've gone through different phases. So the initial phase was there's a daunting aspect of it. Oh, I'm going to get smashed today. What's going to happen? What's going to happen today? Who's going to smash? And there was literally, I'd be pulling up next to the academy thinking, what's going to go down?
Do I
want to
go in? Yeah.
Yeah. But I always went in.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
There was never a time where I opted not to go training. Even that week when I was with Khalid, I'd go back and do the evening classes.
Inshallah, that's good, man.
You understand? So I trained with Khalid. So I was that week and the week before, I was doing about 3 to 4 hours of training a day. So now I would say there's definitely a level of maturity and appreciation. That you're not getting there to win a spar, because a spar isn't even really like a real tournament type situation, is it? There's an element of your sparring partner being in a particular way because he's not there to win. He's there to try certain things out. So you even know that mindset was wrong. I overcame that stage. Then there was a stage of how committed I am to it. Is 2 hours a week enough? Now, I don't do 2 hours a week now. I'll try my best to at least do 3 to 4 hours a week, inshallah, that time. Mm-hmm. So there's a level of maturity, and there is an aspect of wanting to do good very quick.
Okay.
That's something which Khalid said to me, because, bruv, everyone wants to be sick at it very quickly. And it's true, I wanted my first stripe.
Yeah.
I want to do my first tournament. I want to get my first submission.
That's a good thing, though.
But... yeah, but sometimes it just becomes like, you start becoming impatient. You start doing things hastily. You start questioning, why do you want to do it? Do you want to do it because you want to let the world know that you've reached a particular milestone, or you're actually monitoring your progress and making positive changes? So yeah, I believe I've definitely matured. And all of that preparation I did for the good fight helped for where I am right now.
And any advice for someone... like, because we get messages, we also get messages in the club. Today I got a message saying, I'm 57 years old. I've never done any combat sports in my life. Would you take me on? I was like, yeah, of course. Like, but what would you...
come Sunday, open mat.
He wanted to come to open mat. I said, bro, don't come open mat, bro. Don't come open mat. Come to the Monday class. Oh. It's don't come open mat.
You just introduced
him, innit? So what advice would you give to someone? Because it's important, brother. Like, there's a lot of guys out there who feel demasculated at home. They're working 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a bit of a belly now. Their estrogen levels are through the roof. Testosterone's going down. Maybe his wife's not looking at him the same way. Honestly, this kind of happened, bruv. Like, you're feeling... what are you looking at me like that for?
I'm just listening. He's
looking at me.
Like 15 people popped in my head.
No, but like, real talk, bruv, like, what advice would you give to someone who may be watching this and think, you know what, I don't want to do this, man. What advice would you give to them?
I would simply just want to say to do something in small steps is better to do nothing. Again, I'm drawing back to the episodes, because some of these were some of the discussion points in the episodes. So for example, in kickboxing, it was kicking bad habits. I'm forming good ones. So Khalid would explain to me that, look, certain people, they change and they do things cold turkey overnight. But we said that we're kind of those kind of characters. For me, I can't do gradual change. Because for me, gradual change means opportunities to slip back, relapse, go back to bad ways. It needs to be all or nothing for me. The vast majority of mankind is not like that. They move at their own pace and gradual steps. So I would say to brothers and just people generally that if you can just make a small step, it's a step that you didn't take yesterday. And exercising, let's forget about combat sports.
Okay.
just exercising and eating correctly is something, if you don't even care about that, then I don't know what kind of life you're setting yourself up for. From a Muslim, from an Islamic perspective, your body has rights over you. And as we are qawamun over our families and our women folk, why wouldn't you want to be a stronger and better version of yourself? How are you supposed to be seen and perceived as a leader in your, forget about community, in your own home, if you're not making certain changes in your life? You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a rugby player. He used to love sports. You know, there were leadership skills and strengths that we saw in our father. He wasn't a big physical man. He was a fly half. He was a short man. We used to smash guys on the rugby pitch, smash them. We used to hear stories about from the Italians and the Irish about me, who used to play rugby. That was something that instilled something within us. Mm. Yeah, okay, we didn't go into sports because we had other things, but the point is that something was always there. You want to be that for your son and your daughter. I've now said that my daughter, inshallah ta'ala, and all my children, they will all be doing jiu-jitsu and wrestling. Sure. Inshallah, definitely. 100%. 100%. Get the kids into something. I would even say for fathers, what better thing can you give to your daughter than for her ability to defend herself? You'll sleep much lighter at night. Right? Yeah. You sleep so much lighter at night that you know that she can, inshallah, a situation never comes. Yeah. But she can handle herself and defend herself.
Like that situation, I just read the situation, that sister that got murdered in is it Ilford?
Yeah.
The guy kicked her to death, bro.
Kicked her to death.
Now, obviously he's a man and he's stronger than her, but if she knew something, some sort of jujitsu or some sort, I don't know, anything to kind of...
We did the MMA episode, didn't we? Just on like self-defense for women.
So any sort of self-defense, again...
I think, you know, we've... Even when you start doing martial arts, it's more to do with awareness.
Mm.
You'll start seeing people's body language and then knowing that there's danger. Because obviously, like, I know there was this whole women should feel safe to walk home at night.
And well, no, we agree, bro.
And 100% you agree. But the one thing that you're trying to protect yourself from is psychopaths.
Yeah.
Them people are unpredictable. So you need to know how to avoid certain situations, because everyone has a right. I have a right to leave my front door open, but I don't, even though I can fight.
Mm.
I don't leave my front door open because I'm not gonna let someone come in and sucker punch me or see things. So this is the thing with martial arts. You understand this about life, that you can't predict things. There's unpredictable things, and you're trying to give yourself the best opportunity to deal with those situations.
They showed a video of people walking to a violent offender. They were like, point out the people that you would target. Obviously, mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
And people were on their phones. And men who walk a specific way, bruv. Like, even, for example, subhanAllah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi used to walk a specific way. A hurried step, looking straight. You know, body language does a big thing. Because if... Think about it. You see 10 people. You're not going to mess with the guy who's walking with his back straight, looking straight ahead, with the head on the swivel. Like, I'm not saying be paranoid.
The whole point of the Hajj and Umrah is that we are told to have our chest bare, innit?
Yeah.
It's a certain posture
that
gives a certain sign to Quraysh at the time when they came. Yeah. It's like we're not here for it, but if it happens, we're ready.
Yeah. That's it.
That's basically what the idea of walking and bearing some of your chest, the ulama said. Muslim men, you need to be doing something, man.
Yeah.
You need to be doing something. Something. Even if it's press-ups at home. Something.
Yeah, Khalid. I mean, you should be training, anyway.
Yeah.
You should be training. But you should be training.
Obviously, Khalid comes from but about laity.
Yeah.
Awam, yeah? Do something, man.
Yeah.
Press-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, eat right, something. Do something.
I think with martial arts, if I was a president of a country, bro, you know how they got like 2 years military service?
You'd make it compulsory or something.
I'd make it compulsory from 18 to whatever that you've got to do a martial art, bro. You know.
I'd find that Khalid's mindset is too shadid for most people.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So that's why I had to quickly slip in and say, look, lady, do press ups or something. But he's telling that you should be training default.
Yeah, you should do. You should do, bro.
There's levels to the mindset. Yeah.
But also, look, for example, You know, when you train, it teaches. Well, we've done in the strength and conditioning section. I said it teaches a lot about yourself. He went to give up at certain points, yeah,
twice.
And then I said to him, push through it. Yeah, he pushed through it. And then I remember at the end of it, I was like, this is what it's about. Mm. There's no one. You're not trying to compete against me. It's not a jiu-jitsu fight or nothing. It's you versus you. And then that you'll instill into your family and other things as well. Like, you learn how to be disciplined.
You level up as well, bro. Yeah, you won't go back down to that. You kind of, there'll be a baseline where you've hit, and then you go to the next level, and then that's the baseline, mm-hmm. and then so on and so forth, mm-hmm. man. Because you ever see some people like, how the hell this guy climb Mount Everest? And they don't start like that.
Of course, that's the end result.
Exactly.
That's the level that was reached initially.
So, final thoughts, Kay. Because obviously you were there. You guided him through the whole process. You were like his, I was going to say use the word guru, but more.
He was a stud, bro. Yeah, like in the series, I referred to Khalid.
You were like the Mr. Miyagi, but like.
No wax on, wax off.
Yeah, wax off, bro. So I'm gonna give you the last word. Sorry.
Okay, so I think the main thing was Dilly completed the whole thing. He didn't moan too much all the way through it. He did everything I did. Even though he did moan sometimes, but he did the things and didn't really question. So okay, like I'm here to learn and stuff, which was. That's a plus for me. That's a good, that's a tick. As much as he thinks he was embarrassed and didn't do well and stuff, I was proud of him. Sure. I think the guys,
he's definitely proud of you.
The guys who were there, Amir, Coach Shamwell, everyone, mashallah, they all said good things. And in 7 days to do all that, and I remember I put you through it. I didn't make it easy for you on purpose.
We never felt easy.
Yeah, but I didn't make it easy on purpose as well. So that was the whole objective. It was never
meant. Because it could have been this like fluff piece, innit?
Yeah, but
it wasn't that, bro.
Yeah, it wasn't a fluff piece. And it was, I wanted to push him. I wanted to try to break him a bit. I want him to take something from it, which he would put into his life. And alhamdulillah, I think we achieved that. He's doing jiu-jitsu now and he's practicing. Just one more point quickly. I forgot to mention. There's a reason why martial artists do martial arts till they die. It's because you're always learning something. You're learning something about yourself. You're learning something about the art. When you get to a black belt, you feel like a white belt again because it just something else opens up to you. So this is something that with running on a treadmill, I said to you last time, when you just run on a treadmill, how many years can you keep looking at running a treadmill and looking at the screen? It's boring. There's no mental 100%. Stimulation. So this is why... People like you dream about jujitsu and stuff, and I should have done this.
You should have been med.
Yeah, tactical stuff. So I think, alhamdulillah, we achieved. Me personally, as a coach, I kind of like now. Also, carb it right. Him eating well,
100%.
Athlete eight, doing strength and conditioning. So for me, as a coach, it's like, yeah, go. Now you can go and on your journey now, inshallah.
Like, alhamdulillah, my wife and Aki can test for, because they were the people that were seeing it the most. I followed those two things religiously.
So what would your wife say about this? What would your wife, if you was to ask your wife,
yeah,
what changes, what differences have you seen in me?
Our wives persevere with many of us because sometimes when we want to go and achieve things, as in the man, the husband, obviously there's far more things that we go on and we become quite self-centered, whether it's career, whether it's competing, whether it's business, whether it's, whereas many of Muslim women are homemakers, you know, they're raising your children, they're feeding you and all these kind of things. So I know that she, and I had mood swings as well. Mm. I had mood swings at home. Sometimes I'd have an injury, it'd be like I was vexed. My ribs were hurting literally 3 days before we started filming. She said, look, we have to constantly hear you talking about your injuries and or the food wasn't right. Or
have you apologized to her?
No, you have. Yeah. I can use my phone again.
sorry.
Has she forgiven you?
Yeah, of course. Okay. not that I necessarily even saw it.
Of course.
I apologized. So I said that, look, during that period, I know I was in a particular way, and just Allah ever putting up with me, as you should, and as you did, but I acknowledged it and I'm grateful for it. And similarly with competition time, 70 something days away, I said to her, it's going to be very similar to the good fight times three maybe.
I think you'll probably deal with it better now, because don't you think you've gone through this good fight?
She didn't know, but my mat time's going to increase a lot. So I'm
I see what you mean. You mean time wise.
You know what I think we should do, Mohammed? Go on. Why don't you set up a BJJ helpline for me? No one's there, you just talking.
Like Shoiro, have you seen Shoiro? Shoiro have got this thing, this phone number. You know Shoiro, the gi thing. So every week they have like a sub, and people call in. and then just leave a voicemail, innit? Yeah. So I think we should just do that. 1-800 call someone who cares.
Yeah, exactly.
We're bantering about it, but I just started, but those pains were real, man. Yeah. And I couldn't stop talking about it.
Do you know how I banter about it?
Why?
Because he does it.
Oh. Yeah, I do.
I do it.
Yeah, we all do it. We all do it.
But I got home and
he was lying. He told me to step on his back the other day, bro.
Yeah,
his back was like this.
Yeah.
One side was like this, one side was like that. It's one of those things, bro.
So now there's a lot of talk about pains and aches at home.
Have you had a massage since?
Yeah, I've had a massage. I've had Aki gave me massages. Okay. Aki's a physio. So alhamdulillah, you know, Aki was great support throughout the entire week. But there's a lot of this, like, oh, I'm in pain. Oh, this is pain. Oh, this got mashed up. Oh, this hurts. Oh, why is the food? Oh, da, da, da. So there's a lot of that.
Have you started doing leg locks yet?
Huh? No.
Okay.
No.
Just remember, tap early. Yeah?
Quickly.
Yeah. So tap early, bro.
So super early.
In one of the Nogi classes, they were doing it from, what guard is it when you're like, when you bring them down like that?
Butterfly.
50 or?
Cross.
X guard.
X guard, yes. Yeah. So take a number with the X guard, then you turn. The heel hook, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was learning that, but for quick time, I was like, I'm not taking part in this class. Now, allow it. Yeah. Allow it. You don't even see it coming.
You can learn.
Tap quick.
You need to learn it, but it's, again, see, if you go with that winning mentality, that's when your career ends up very quick.
I think we should end on that, bro.
Yeah.
Are you got any closing comments? Well, he's got
to do something.
Alhamdulillah, there were no negatives from the project, bro. I don't regret it. There are many things we could have done much better if the budget allowed it, the time allowed it. But I think what we produced in a very short space of time for a budget, which is a couple of thousand pounds is what the budget for The Good Fight was. Wallahi, I've had people have watched it and reviewed it and said, in terms of the quality of the production and certain things that Jamal did, very professional. And I've only taken positives from it, bruv. I've only benefited from it.
Well, I appreciate everything for, firstly, allowing us to be involved in this project as well. No, our pleasure, bro. And you coming down all the way from Bedford today just for this interview, I appreciate that as well. And we'll put the links to Athlete 8, Carbit Right, and The Good Fight in the description.
Sean.
I mean, if you're a combat sport athlete or not, I think you'll enjoy it. If you're thinking about going to train, all the links that if you're close to one of us, you can come down to either Legion Grappling Academy or Khadi Ismail Academy and come train with us, man. So I think for me and Khalid and Dili, we'll see you on the next one.